ever been knee-deep in Medicare regulations and thought, could a seemingly dry statutory detail actually trigger a billion-dollar impact and end up at the Supreme Court? Well, that exact scenario played out in American Hospital as Iventi Becerra, and that's precisely where we're taking our deep dive today.
Yeah, it's a really compelling legal battle for anyone interested in, you know, the intersection of healthcare and the law. We're going to dissect the core of Medicare outpatient drug reimbursement, the intricacies of the 340B drug pricing program, and the legal arguments that ultimately convinced the Supreme Court.
If for you law students tuning in, seriously pay attention. This case is like a masterclass in statutory interpretation. It unpacks the real-world limits of administrative power, and it vividly demonstrates how these legal concepts have tangible effects on healthcare policy and the communities that rely on it.
Absolutely. Our goal here is to navigate the complexities of Medicare's reimbursement system for outpatient drugs and to really understand the legal reasoning that underpinned the Supreme Court's decision in this, well, significant case.
Okay, let's unpack this from the beginning. The Medicare statute, specifically 42 U.S.C. section 1395-14A3, it lays out the ground rules for how hospitals get reimbursed for outpatient drugs. Can you walk us through the two main ways this happens?
Certainly. The statute establishes two primary methods. The first comes into play if the Department of Health and Human Services, or HHS, conducts a survey to determine the costs hospitals incur when acquiring these drugs. If HHS undertakes such a survey, it then has the authority to set reimbursement rates that can actually vary depending on the group of hospitals, presumably reflecting differences in their acquisition costs found by the survey.
Okay, so a cost survey opens the door to varied reimbursement rates based on hospital groups. What's the alternative scenario? What if they don't do a survey?
Right. The second method applies when HHS hasn't conducted one of these acquisition cost surveys. In that instance, the statute mandates that reimbursement must be based on the average sales price, or ASP, of the drug. And crucially, these rates must be uniform across all hospitals. No variation allowed then.
Uniform rates based on ASP when no survey has been done. That seems straightforward enough. Now, where does the 340B program, which we've mentioned, fit into this reimbursement landscape?
The 340B program is a critical element to understand here. It's a federal initiative that requires drug manufacturers to offer outpatient drugs at significantly reduced prices to specific types of hospitals. These are typically hospitals that serve a disproportionately large number of low-income patients or are located in, say, rural areas. The fundamental aim of the program is really to enable these hospitals to stretch their limited financial resources and continue providing essential care to vulnerable populations.
So these 340B hospitals are essentially purchasing these drugs at a discount. That's a key point to keep in mind. Now let's get to the core of American Hospital as Zen V. Becerra. What was this central legal question that made its way to the highest court?
Well, the fundamental legal question was whether the Medicare statute actually allowed HHS to lower the reimbursement rates specifically for these 340B hospitals without first conducting a survey of their acquisition costs. Remember, the statute explicitly links the ability to have different reimbursement rates for different groups of hospitals to the prior completion of a cost survey.
Right. So for a long time, HHS hadn't done one of these surveys, and they were generally reimbursing hospitals based on the ASP around, what, 106%?
That's right.
But then, in 2018 and 2019, they decided to reduce the reimbursement just for 340B hospitals down to 77.5% of the ASP. Mm. And crucially, they implemented this change without doing a cost survey tailored to these hospitals.
Yeah.
This is where the American Hospital Association stepped in,
right,
with their lawsuit.
Exactly. The AHA argued that by singling out the 340B hospitals for these lower reimbursement rates without the prerequisite cost survey, HHS had exceeded the authority granted to it by the statute. They contended, you know, that the statute laid out a clear procedure for varying rates among different hospital groups, and HHS just hadn't followed it.
Okay, so the district court agreed with the hospitals, ruling HHS couldn't implement these differential rates without the survey. But then the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals reversed that decision, and they leaned heavily on this concept called Chevron deference. For our listeners who might be newer to administrative law, can you briefly explain what Chevron deference is and why the appellate court found it relevant here?
Sure. Chevron deference is a foundational principle in administrative law. It essentially says that when a statute passed by Congress is ambiguous, meaning it can reasonably be interpreted in more than one way, courts should generally defer to the interpretation of that statute made by the federal agency charged with administering it, as long as the agency's interpretation is reasonable, of course. The rationale behind Chevron is often attributed to the agency's expertise in the subject matter and the idea that Congress implicitly delegates interpretive authority to these agencies. In the Becerra case, the D.C. Circuit concluded that the Medicare statute was sufficiently ambiguous to allow HHS's interpretation. They thought HHS could adjust the ASP for specific hospital groups, like the 340B hospitals, even without a cost survey. They found HHS's policy justification for the lower rates to be a reasonable exercise of their authority under Chevron.
Okay, so the appellate court basically gave HHS the benefit of the doubt based on Chevron, but the Supreme Court ultimately disagreed, didn't they?
Yeah.
And reversed the D.C. Circuit's decision. What was the Supreme Court's unanimous holding?
The Supreme Court's ruling was indeed unanimous and quite clear. First, they addressed the threshold issue of judicial review. They stated that HHS's rate-setting action in this particular context was not shielded from review by the courts under the Medicare statute. There's a strong presumption in American law that agency actions are subject to judicial review unless Congress explicitly states otherwise, and the court found no such explicit bar here.
That's a crucial point in itself, the judiciary's role in overseeing administrative agencies. And on the main question, the reimbursement rates for 340B hospitals.
On that core issue, the Supreme Court definitively held that HHS acted unlawfully. Unlawfully when it varied the Medicare reimbursement rate specifically for 340B hospitals in 2018 and 2019 without first conducting the acquisition cost survey, the survey that the statute mandates as a prerequisite for such rate variations among different hospital groups.
And what was the fundamental reasoning behind the Supreme Court's decision? Why did they conclude HHS had overstepped its authority?
The court's reasoning really hinged on a close reading of the plain language and the structural design of the statute itself. It wasn't about policy preference. They underscored that the authority granted to HHS to vary reimbursement rates between different categories of hospitals is explicitly contingent upon the completion of a cost survey. This statute, in their view, establishes a clear if-then relationship. If HHS conducts a survey of hospital acquisition costs, then it is authorized to set varying reimbursement rates reflecting those cost differences. Conversely, without conducting such a survey, the statute only permits uniform reimbursement rates based on the ASP. Simple as that.
So the court drew a sharp distinction between two potential actions by HHS, generally adjusting the ASP, maybe okay without a survey, versus specifically varying rates between different groups of hospitals, which, well, requires a survey according to this statute. And they concluded HHS was essentially trying to accomplish the latter without fulfilling the condition.
Precisely. Justice Kavanaugh, writing for the court, emphasized that simply adjusting the overall ASP, up or down, is a distinct action from establishing different reimbursement rates for specific categories like 340B hospitals. HHS tried to frame its actions as merely an adjustment of the ASP for these hospitals, but the court rejected that argument. They said accepting HHS's interpretation would effectively render the statutory requirement for a cost survey meaningless, completely pointless. Why would Congress have included a detailed provision requiring a cost survey if HHS could just bypass it whenever it wanted by calling it an adjustment?
That makes perfect logical sense. Yeah, if HHS's argument had won, that whole section about the survey process would basically be useless text. And as we know, a fundamental principle of statutory interpretation is to avoid interpretations that render any part of a statute redundant or meaningless, right?
Exactly. This principle, sometimes called the rule against surplusage, it's a cornerstone of how courts read statutes. And what's particularly noteworthy for law students is that because the Supreme Court found the statutory text so clear, so unambiguous on this point, the link between the survey and varying rates, they actually sidestepped the whole Chevron deference debate. They didn't need to ask if HHS's interpretation was reasonable because they concluded it was flat out contrary to the plain meaning of the law Congress wrote. The statute itself gave the answer.
So, the clarity of the statute was decisive. No need for Chevron here. Now, let's talk about the real-world impact of this Supreme Court decision. It sounds like the implications could be pretty significant.
Oh, they are indeed significant. The most immediate and direct impact is financial, naturally. The Supreme Court's ruling effectively reinstates the higher Medicare reimbursement rates for 340B hospitals. It's estimated this will mean about $1.6 billion annually being returned to these hospitals. And this financial boost is incredibly important because these funds directly support their ability to provide care to a huge number of uninsured, underinsured, and low-income patients. It helps them offset costs for essential services.
So a really tangible and substantial benefit to hospitals serving vulnerable populations. That's huge.
Yeah.
What about the broader implications, particularly within administrative law? What lessons can we draw from this case?
Well, from an administrative law perspective, this case serves as a really powerful reminder that federal agencies, even when pursuing what seem like good policy goals, must always operate within the boundaries and procedures laid out by Congress in statutes. They can't just unilaterally alter systems or disregard specific requirements, even if they think they have sound policy reasons. In this instance, the Supreme Court clearly prioritized the specific language and structure Congress created over the agency's preferred policy approach.
It really sounds like a clear reaffirmation of the separation of powers Congress makes the laws, and the executive branch, including agencies, has to implement those laws according to their terms.
Precisely. And for you law students, this case offers an invaluable lesson in the critical skill of meticulous statutory interpretation. Really digging into the text, it underscores the absolute importance of paying close attention to the precise words used in a statute and understanding the overall structure, how different parts relate. It also vividly illustrates the ongoing dynamic, sometimes tension, between the legislative and executive branches and the very real-world consequences legal decisions in areas like healthcare can have.
Absolutely. This isn't just some abstract legal debate. It directly impacts hospitals and the patients they serve every day. So as we bring this deep dive into American Hospital as Zen B. Becerra to a close, what's one final thought or lingering question you think our listeners, particularly the law students, should really consider?
I think it's worth really reflecting on that inherent balance, the balance between, you know, agency expertise in complex areas and the fundamental limitations imposed by statutes Congress enacts. How might this Becerra ruling shape future legal debates about the scope of administrative power in other fields beyond just healthcare? What are the long-term implications for how agencies interpret and implement laws?
That's a really thought-provoking point. Or maybe just consider what this case tells us about the enduring importance of clear statutory language. How critical clear language is for constraining executive action and keeping agencies within the bounds set by the legislature. Hopefully, this deep dive has given you a much clearer understanding of this important Supreme Court case and its broader implications. Thanks for joining us.